Eddie, the Mechanic. Chapter 4. Christmas Break. With Christmas right around the corner and final exams over, Kathy decides she wants to cut her own Christmas tree. She finds a Christmas tree farm where you can cut your own tree, pay for it, and take it home. In Eddie's MGB, Eddie and Kathy drive to the farm, which seems to be out in the middle of nowhere. Wondering how they will get the tree home, Eddie asks Kathy, "The MGB is only 5 feet wide. How are we going to get it back to our house?" Kathy replies, "Then, I guess we'll be getting a 5-foot-tall Christmas tree." Arriving at the tree farm, they stop at the office, which is little more than a temporary building dropped near the road. They find out that the trees are sold by the foot, and when they find the one they want, they should cut it down and bring it back to the office. Eddie picks up a handsaw, and they head out to the lot. Walking through the lot, Kathy searches for the perfect Christmas tree. With hundreds to choose from, finding the right tree is no simple task. After an hour of searching for the perfect tree in the freezing weather, Kathy tells Eddie, "Eddie, I think I found it. The perfect Christmas tree. Here it is." Eddie takes a look and tells Kathy, "Yeah, this one looks good to me." Kathy tells Eddie, "I think I want this one." Kathy has seen every tree on the lot at least twice, so she's confident that this is the one she wants. Eddie asks, "Are you sure this is the one you want?" Kathy replies, "Yeah. You can cut this one down for us." Eddie gets under the tree and starts cutting. Halfway through, Eddie asks, "I thought you wanted to cut your own tree." Kathy replies, "I am." Eddie asks, "Then, how come my hand is on the saw?" Kathy replies, "Because you love me." With Eddie about to finish, he tells Kathy, "Okay, catch the tree. I'm almost done." Finishing the cut, Eddie gets out from under the tree. Kathy tells Eddie, "Okay, now we carry it back. I'll hold the saw." Eddie carries the tree back to the office, mentioning on the way, "I think we got the tree farthest away from the car." Kathy explains, "That's why it's the perfect Christmas tree. No one walked all the way back here to find it." After walking a quarter mile back to the car, Eddie carrying the tree and Kathy carrying the saw, Kathy tells Eddie, "We made it. That was fun." Eddie and Kathy pay for their Christmas tree, which the owner of the lot wraps in a sleeve so it can be transported easily. Eddie loads the Christmas tree onto the MGB and ties it down, which is no easy task. Fortunately, Eddie's MGB has a luggage rack on the rear that helps tremendously. Eddie comments, "We should have borrowed Mark's truck." Kathy replies, "But that wouldn't have been as much fun as trying to get it to fit on the MGB." They then head home, albeit very slowly, with their very first Christmas tree. When they arrive home, Eddie unloads the tree and trims the bottom branches. As he is placing the tree into a bucket of water, Eddie tells Kathy, "I guess it's time to go and buy a Christmas tree stand." Kathy replies, "Oh, yeah. I almost forgot about that. Oh, and we don't have any decorations for our tree either." Eddie replies, "Well, next year, we'll already have the tree stand and decorations." Eddie and Kathy head out in search of a tree stand and decorations for their tree. Before they head to the store, they stop and get pizza for lunch. While they are eating, Kathy mentions, "How is it that my parents never cut their own Christmas tree? That was fun." Eddie replies, "Well, you kind of had the easy part." Kathy replies, "How do you mean?" "I spent a whole hour picking out our tree." Eddie explains, "Well, I cut it and carried it a quarter of a mile in the cold. Then I put it on the car and unloaded it. Then I trimmed it up." Kathy giggles and replies, "Oh yeah. I guess you did." Eddie then tells Kathy, "I have a question." Kathy asks Eddie, "What's that?" Eddie explains his question, asking, "Why is it you always say how is that, instead of why is that? And you like say how am I here, instead of why am I here? Kathy explains, oh, that. That's easy. When I was a kid, I always used to ask why about everything under the sun. My mom would tell me to stop asking why, so I started saying how is that instead of why is that. I did exactly what she said and stopped asking why. Eddie comments, that's really funny. You know, your mom sometimes uses how instead of why too. Kathy replies, How is it that I never noticed that before? After lunch, they head to the store and buy a tree stand and Christmas decorations. That evening, they decorate their tree together and take a lot of pictures. During the decorating process, which is taking hours, Kathy asks Eddie, so, what are we getting everyone for Christmas? Eddie replies, well, I know what John wants. Kathy asks, what's that? Eddie explains, he wants my gym back. He only has a bar, a few weights, and some dumbbells. He's been working out at his friend's house and at the gym at school. Kathy replies, you know, maybe we should get him something like that. Eddie comments, I gave him my lawn cutting business. That should keep him in shape. Kathy informs Eddie, well, he is the fastest guy in the high school. It must run in the family. While they decorate the tree, Kathy and Eddie make a Christmas shopping list that, for some reason, is a little easier than planning a wedding. The week after final exams at the university, Eddie has an interview with the college admissions staff. Eddie arrives early along with Kathy, who wanted to be there, by his side, when he gets his news. Mark's interview is scheduled right after Eddie's. It seems the college staff is eager to get the meetings over with so they, too, can enjoy Christmas break. Paula, wondering what the meeting is all about, will be joining Mark. Eddie and Mark have no idea what to expect, as college acceptance is usually done with an acceptance letter. While they are waiting, Eddie mentions to Kathy, I wonder if they are going to let me run. Reassuring Eddie, Kathy tells him, they don't call you in for an interview to show you the door. My guess is they are going to tell you what the deal is. Eddie tells Kathy, the deal is I don't want to go to class, and I want all A's. Kathy informs Eddie, believe me, they already know that. And believe me, they'll do the best that they can. Kathy and Eddie's conversation is interrupted by an administrative assistant, who tells Eddie, the director of admissions will see you now. Please follow me. Eddie and Kathy follow the assistant to a conference room. They are shown where to sit at the large table in the nicely appointed room. The assistant asks Eddie and Kathy if they would like something to drink. Eddie tells her that he would like some water. The assistant returns with a silver platter with a pitcher of ice water and a glass for each Eddie and Kathy. After the assistant pours the water, she leaves. Eddie mentions to Kathy, wow. Paula was right. Kathy asks, about what? Eddie reminds Kathy, Paula said they treat you guys like gold. Kathy agrees, telling Eddie, yeah, they do. Eddie replies, I should have asked her for a pizza. In walks the director of admissions, Mr. Gerald Rosenberg. Mr. Rosenberg is accompanied by Dr. Braun, the head track coach, Coach Herndon, the coach to the sprinters, and Dr. Alexander Karakova, who was promoted to the position of the university's athletic director this year. Kathy is quite surprised when her father walks in. That certainly was not something she was expecting this afternoon. Dr. Karakova was equally surprised when he was invited at the very last minute by Dr. Braun, who told him that there is an exceptional athlete coming in for an interview. Dr. Karakova had no idea the athlete was Eddie. Mr. Rosenberg opens the meeting, announcing, "Good afternoon, Edward and Kathy. I am very pleased that both of you took the time out of your schedule to meet with us today." After introducing everyone and telling Eddie what a great school the university is, Mr. Rosenberg tells Eddie, "We have reviewed your application and are pleased to grant you admission to the university. You will be given a full athletic scholarship in return for running track for the university." Eddie replies, wow. Thank you. Mr. Rosenberg tells Eddie, I'm going to turn this meeting over to Dr. Braun, the head track coach. I'm sure that what he has to say will be more interesting than anything I can contribute. Eddie is surprised that the university's administration is quite cordial compared with, say, Mr. Crum. Dr. Braun tells Eddie, we were quite impressed by your performance on the track last winter. I understand that your performance is even better now, and that you broke the national high school record in the 100-yard dash. Eddie replies, yeah. I ran a 9.2. That was during a regular season meet. Dr. Braun asks, I'm a little curious. What did you run at nationals? Much to Dr. Braun's surprise, Eddie replies, I didn't go. Dr. Braun asks, why not? You would have won. Eddie replies, me and Kathy were too busy planning our wedding, and I already broke the national record. That was enough for me. Already aware that Eddie did not attend the national meet, Coach Herndon adds, I checked it out. The winner at nationals, some guy named Major Nackler Brocklin, ran a 9.5 this year. He signed with some West Coast school. Eddie laughs and mentions, wow. Mark ran a 9.3 in the same race that I ran the 9.2. We both could have beat him. Interrupting the meeting, Mr. Rosenberg asks, Mark, is that the athlete we are interviewing next? Coach Herndon replies, yes, sir. Mr. Rosenberg, not quite fully understanding the talent being brought to his university, asks, so, let me get this straight and make sure I understand this. Eddie and Mark are both faster than the guy who won the national high school title this year. Coach Herndon replies, yes, sir. That is correct. Mr. Rosenberg tells them, I'm sorry for interrupting. I just wanted to be clear about what I just heard. You may continue. Whenever a school offers a full athletic scholarship, there is always a question whether the athlete will be able to perform as advertised. Mr. Rosenberg just got all of his questions answered. Dr. Braun tells Eddie, as Mr. Rosenberg stated, the university is offering you a full athletic scholarship. In addition, in lieu of attending formal classes, the university will arrange for independent study and special projects classes. These classes will lead to a Bachelor of Science in Automotive Engineering Technology, which I understand is your passion. As we did for Kathy, we can also offer you an internship working with your high school track team. That position will pay $40 an hour for 15 hours a week work. Never expecting the university to accept his terms, Eddie replies, wow. Thank you. Thank you very much. Eddie asks, I have one more question. Mr. Rosenberg asks, sure. What is that? Eddie asks, what about my grades? Mr. Rosenberg replies, well, we can't give you all A's. If we did that, you would graduate number one in your class, likely making you the valedictorian. That would certainly raise a red flag, having the class valedictorian never being seen in a classroom. But we can assure you that you won't be disappointed. Eddie replies, okay. Fair enough. Mr. Rosenberg mentions, there is one more thing. There is always one more administrative item that is thrown out on the table last. Eddie asks, what's that? Mr. Rosenberg informs Eddie, the university asks that you keep the details of our offer confidential. It is not every day that we make an offer such as the one we are making to you today. If the details of our offers to you and Mark are made public, it is sure to create some animosity among the track team members and the other university teams. Eddie replies, sure. No problem. Mr. Rosenberg just inadvertently leaked to Eddie that Mark is getting the same offer. And keeping the terms a secret, in Eddie's mind, is not asking for much at all. During the interview, Eddie thinks back to last year's state invitational meet, when he thought it was the end of the road for him. He remembers that was a very sad moment in his life. The university, coming through with the unfathomable, places an offer on the table, exceeding Eddie's terms. Eddie realizes that all that work he put in for the last 10 years, and working out since he was 8 years old, has finally paid off. After listening to Mr. Rosenberg, Dr. Braun, and Coach Herndon, Eddie tells them, "Okay, you got it." Dr. Braun asks, "Does that mean you are accepting our offer?" Eddie replies, "Yeah. I can go for it." For the first time in the meeting, Coach Herndon sits back and relaxes. A smile comes across Kathy's face, knowing that she and Eddie will be running on the same team once again. Kathy is now one step closer to getting the entire group back together again. Kathy comments, "Oh, and there's one more thing. I almost forgot. Since the administrators always have one more thing thrown out on the table, it's fair game that the students can throw another thing out on the table too." Mr. Rosenberg asks, "And what is that?" Kathy mentions, "Bobby B., the shot put guy from the high school, was wondering if there could possibly be a place on the team for him too. I told him that I'd ask the next time I got the chance." Dr. Braun asks, "What does he throw?" Kathy replies, "Last year, he broke the state record. He told me that he's throwing the 16-pound shot over 65 feet now." Silence falls over the room, broken by Dr. Karakova, who mentions, "Well, Robert Bradshaw is an amazing guy. He's taken the gold medal the last 2 years at state. If it could somehow be worked out, he would also be a valuable addition to the team." Dr. Braun tells Kathy, "I'd like to meet him sometime. Is he local?" Kathy energetically replies, "Yeah. He sure is." Dr. Braun tells Kathy, "See if you can get him to come to practice sometime when we officially start up again next month." Kathy replies, "Will do." Eddie and Kathy thank Mr. Rosenberg, Dr. Braun, and Coach Herndon for the offer they extended. On the way out, Kathy gives her father a hug. As Eddie is talking with Coach Herndon, Kathy's father whispers to Kathy, "I'm really glad to see the school gave him a good offer. With all the crap Eddie had to put up with that high school, and Mr. Crum, he deserves a break." Kathy mentions, "That was one of Eddie's conditions. If there's a Mr. Crum around here, Eddie said he's out of here." Kathy's dad reassures her, "Eddie won't have that problem here." As Eddie and Kathy are on their way out, they see Mark and Paula waiting for Mark's interview. With lots of excitement, Paula asks Kathy, "How did it go?" Kathy tells Paula, "Ed is running." Paula gives Kathy a high five, followed by Mark giving Eddie a high five. Mark asks Eddie, "Do you have to go to class?" Eddie whispers to Mark, "No. And I got an internship, and I'll be working with Kathy." Mark mentions to Eddie, "I wonder if I'll get one too." Eddie and Kathy already know the answer to Mark's question, but they don't spoil Mark's surprise. Paula asks, "Can you guys wait for us?" Kathy replies, "Yeah. We're parked outside in the lot by the track. Meet us there when you're done." Eddie and Kathy head outside as Mark and Paula get ready to be called in. Not more than 5 minutes go by before Mark and Paula are escorted into the conference room. Mr. Rosenberg, Dr. Braun, Coach Herndon, and Dr. Karakova are already seated and ready to start the meeting. The administrative assistant pours Mark and Paula a glass of water and leaves the room. The meeting is now ready to begin. Mr. Rosenberg opens the meeting, announcing, "Good afternoon, Mark and Paula. Thank you both for taking the time out of your schedule to meet with us today." Mr. Rosenberg introduces everyone to Mark and, just like with Eddie, tells Mark what a great school the university is. Mr. Rosenberg then announces, "Mark, we have reviewed your application and are pleased to grant you admission to the university, complete with a full athletic scholarship. Dr. Braun will go over the details with you. I'm sure that what he has to say will be more interesting to you than anything I have to say." When it comes to athletes, it is clear that Mr. Rosenberg lets the coaches do the talking. Mark is ready to hear the deal he is about to receive. Unlike Eddie, Mark is a little on the quiet side today. Dr. Braun tells Mark, "We were quite impressed by your performance on the track last winter and with your statistics. It is my understanding that your performance may even be better now. If I am not mistaken, I believe that you hold the state record in the 220-yard dash and also excel at the 100-yard dash. Am I correct?" Mark replies, "That's right. And I would have tied the national record in the 100-yard dash if Eddie didn't beat me." Dr. Braun clearly understands the caliber of athlete sitting in front of him today. And Mr. Rosenberg now gets a look at the second fastest high school graduate in the nation. To have number one and number two on the university's track team would certainly be a game changer. Dr. Braun tells Mark, "As Mr. Rosenberg stated, the university is offering you a full athletic scholarship. And in addition, in lieu of attending formal classes, the university will arrange for independent study and special projects classes. These classes will lead to a Bachelor of Science in Building Construction Management. As we do for many of our athletes on full scholarship, we can also offer you an internship working with your high school track team alongside Paula. That position will pay $40 an hour for 15 hours a week." Surprised at the offer he has received, Mark replies, "Thank you. I think I'll take it. I can't wait to get back on the track." Coach Herndon is certainly glad to hear the news, as evidenced by the smile that just came across her face. Mr. Rosenberg then mentions, "The university, however, asks that you keep the details of our offer confidential. It is not every day that we make an outstanding offer such as the one we put on the table today. If the details of our offer are made public, it will surely create some animosity among the track team members." Mark replies, "No problem," to Mr. Rosenberg's request. Coach Herndon sits back and contemplates what this will mean for the team. Knowing that she has two top-notch sprinters on the way, she is keenly aware that the sprinting team has just stepped up a few rungs on the competitive ladder. Paula is happy, wanting to give Mark a high five, but she must restrain herself. And if McCutcheon knew what is happening right now, he'd have a shit fit. Eddie and Mark are the last two athletes McCutcheon ever wanted to see on the track again. Mark and Paula thank the administrators and coaches for Mark's offer. The coaches are likewise happy that Mark was so eager to accept the offer. On the way out, Paula tells Mark, "Kathy is really going to be happy. She's really trying to get the tribe back together again." Mark laughs, telling Paula, "So, now I want to mess with her and tell her I'm not running." Paula informs Mark, "I wouldn't do that if I were you. Payback's a hell, and she'll get you back really good. And she'll never stop. Just look at how far she's taken that metric stopwatch thing. That was during your sophomore year in high school, and it hasn't ended yet." Mark quickly reconsiders, telling Paula, "Yeah, I think you're right about that." After Mark's interview, Mark and Paula find Eddie and Kathy standing near the fence, looking out over the track. Paula yells out, "Hey, you guys," as they run over to Eddie and Kathy. Eddie and Kathy turn around, hearing Paula yell out, "Mark is running." Eddie comically mentions to Kathy, "I can see that. So is Paula." They meet up quickly, as Paula wastes no time telling Kathy they gave Mark a scholarship and told him he can be an intern with us. And Mark doesn't have to go to class either. Mark adds, "They said they are going to give me a bachelor's degree in construction management." The group all exchange high fives, and it doesn't take Kathy long to suggest that they all get pizza to celebrate. Now that finals week at the university is done, Kathy has a few weeks off from college classes. This does not mean she gets to slack off. Kathy, and now Eddie, has to work out even harder than before. Eddie and Mark will have to wait to hear when they will begin taking their so-called classes and start practicing with the team. After all, there is administrative paperwork, appropriation of funds, and that sort of stuff that holds things up. Mitchell returns for Christmas break and stops by to visit Eddie and Kathy. They talk for a while, catching up on the last few months. Kathy tells Mitchell Eddie and Mark are headed to college, either in the spring or next autumn. We're not sure yet. And they both got scholarships. Mitchell tells Eddie, "Wow. I thought you guys were totally not going to college." Eddie proudly informs Mitchell, "They met all my demands. I couldn't say no." Mitchell asks, "Really? What were your demands?" Eddie replies, "I don't want to go to any classes, and I want all A's. But that's a secret. So you can't repeat it." Mitchell comments, "Wow. I didn't think colleges did that." Eddie replies, "Apparently they do if you run fast enough." Kathy asks Mitchell, "So, what is your mile time these days?" Mitchell replies, "I've been training every day." Kathy asks, "And?" Mitchell replies, "So, my times have come down a lot." Kathy asks, "So, what are they?" Eddie interrupts, telling Kathy, "Ahem. Stop prying." He's answering questions, just like you do when you don't want to answer them. Kathy laughs and replies, "To me, he's sounding a lot like Akinmola." Mitchell relents and tells Kathy, "Well, I didn't really want to answer the question, but I can break a 4-minute mile now." Kathy stands up and exclaims, "What? You can do what? Are you serious?" Mitchell replies, "Yeah. That's all I've been doing since I graduated. Training. And I can run the quarter mile in the upper 40-second range." Eddie tells Mitchell, "You know where she's going with this, don't you?" Mitchell replies, "No. Fill me in." Eddie explains, "She's going to want you to show up at track practice in January. Then, she's going to meet with the coaches before you show up and tell them that you're fast. Then, they'll have you run a mile for time. And then, when they see what you can do, the coaches will beg you to go to the university." Kathy interjects, "I'm not." Eddie laughs and replies, "Oh, yeah, you were. Don't even try to get out of this one." Kathy sighs and, with no way out, confesses, "Okay, so I'm busted." Mitchell surprisingly replies, "I'm game. I'll give it a try. I'm kind of tired of living out of suitcases and going from city to city anyway. And I really miss Amber. Missing Amber is probably 80% of the issue. Living out of suitcases is the other 20%. Kathy again stands up, gives Mitchell and Eddie a high five, and exclaims, "Awesome." Kathy tells Mitchell, "I'll definitely let you know when practice begins." Mitchell assures Kathy, "I'll be there." For now, however, Eddie still has to work. Reviewing the stocks he holds, Eddie finds out that some of them need to be sold by the end of the year. He goes ahead and sells them and, at the same time, reviews the list of stocks he gave to Angelo. From Eddie's calculations, Angelo has made a significant return on his money in the last few months. And the time is drawing near to cash in on a few of the stocks. One morning, when Angelo arrives at work, Eddie sits down with Angelo in the office. Eddie explains to Angelo that he should sell a few of the stocks, telling him, "Here's a list of what you should sell now. But don't wait. Do it now." Taking a look at the list, Angelo asks, "How do you know they won't go up even more?" Eddie replies, "Because the earnings reports will be coming out soon, and they are not going to be as good as expected." Knowing he is well into the black, Angelo takes Eddie's advice and sells the stocks. After making the transaction, Angelo tells Eddie, "Hey, I tripled my money. Thanks for the advice." Eddie tells Angelo, "I have a few more suggestions at home, if you want to reinvest the money." Angelo replies, "Sure. I'll give it another try." Eddie tells Angelo, "I'll bring the list tomorrow. Who knows? Maybe someday you'll get to take a few days off." Angelo replies, "I'd just be happy to open up at 10 a.m. and get out of here by 5 p.m. It would be even nice to get a good break in the middle of the day. Seeing Eddie not having to work long hours, and now seeing his own stocks go up, gives Angelo a lot more confidence in Eddie's suggestions. This year, Eddie and Kathy have their first Christmas day together. A bit on the lazy side, they wake up around 9 a.m. to the sound of the phone ringing. Kathy gets out of bed to answer it, as Eddie follows a few minutes later. In between the Merry Christmas phone calls, Eddie and Kathy go into their living room and exchange presents, which are sitting under the tree they spent an entire weekend picking out and decorating. Finding one of Kathy's presents under the tree, Eddie hands it to Kathy, telling her, "Merry Christmas." Kathy, true to form, removes the wrapping from the present very slowly. She tells Eddie, "I think I know what it is." Eddie assures her, "You'll never guess." Taking a not-so-wild guess, Kathy tells Eddie, "It's a necklace." Once she gets the wrapping paper off and opens the box, Kathy looks inside and finds a golden chain. Kathy tells Eddie, "I guessed it. It's a necklace. It's so beautiful. Thank you so much, sweetie." Eddie tells her, "Well, I guess it could be a necklace if you wanted it to be." Holding the chain in front of her, Kathy asks, "How is this not a necklace?" Eddie tells her, "It's a belly chain. You wear it around your waist." Having never heard about a belly chain, Kathy pulls up her shirt and puts it around her waist. Eddie mentions, "It will really look great with your cutoffs." Kathy runs into the bedroom and gets one of her cutoff shirts and puts it on. She walks back into the living room and exclaims, "I love it." Lying between the waistband of her pants and her shirt is a decorative chain with three sapphire stones, each on a small chain, hanging in the front near her belly button. Eddie comments, "That looks way cool." Kathy walks over to the Christmas tree and gets Eddie one of his presents. Kathy tells Eddie, "Okay, guess what's in it." Eddie shakes the box, which makes no noise at all. Having no idea what's in the box, Eddie exclaims, "It's a motorcycle." Kathy replies, "Is not." Eddie takes off the wrapping paper and, as he opens the box, tells Kathy, "I give up. I'll just have to look." Inside are a golden Aztec Mayan sun calendar pendant and matching chain. Eddie exclaims, "Wow. Cool." Kathy asks, "Do you like it?" Eddie replies, "Yeah. It's awesome." Kathy explains, "We're always at the beach, and the necklace had a sunny and energetic feel to it. So I got it for you." Eddie puts on the necklace and declares, "I am Eddie, the sun god." Kathy gives Eddie a kiss, followed by many, many more. Kathy and Eddie exchange the rest of their gifts. Kathy also made Eddie an adjustable sliding knot necklace made out of leather. The necklace also has a clasp to which Eddie can attach his stopwatch. For this Christmas, Eddie also tried his hand at crafts. Eddie made Kathy a necklace to match her belly chain. But he did have a little help. The jeweler sold Eddie the parts, which Eddie assembled himself. By late morning, Eddie and Kathy get ready to head out to Kathy's parents' house for lunch. For dinner, they will head to Eddie's parents' house, to where Kathy's parents are also invited. While they are getting ready, Kathy mentions, "Hey, I'm not going to have a long dry spell this year." Eddie asks, "What are you talking about?" Kathy explains, "When I was living at my parents' house, relatives would come over all during Christmas week, and we would have these sit-down dinners. And by the end of the week, all I wanted was a pizza. This year, I can get a pizza whenever I want." Eddie tells Kathy, "I can see it now. When we have kids, Christmas dinner is going to be pizza." Kathy replies, "Exactly. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner," as they head out for the day.